Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And if you're going down in your trips on the holidays, they're happening right now. You're planning it out. And you said, oh, man, I don't want to lug this stroller. Because you
just realized it.
You just realized it. You better book now with Kingdom Strollers. If you want them to come, their luxury service, they'll deliver right to wherever you're staying. They'll pick it up. You don't have to worry about it. It's so simple. If you're staying at a hotel, they'll take it to the bell desk or to concierge. If you're staying at a house, they'll just drop it off on your front door. So great. Check them out, kingdomstrollers.com. And let us know and let them know that you booked it because you heard about it right here on WDW Today. Again, their website's kingdomstrollers.com. And they're a proud sponsor of WDW Today. I hope they're proud. After some of these ad reads, I'm not so sure. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now, here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, and this is episode 1540. 1540. That's a pretty big deal.
Uh-huh.
Pretty big deal. And today,
1540.
Took a little trip. What's the next part?
Down to Thanksgiving with our big old fam.
Yeah, I took a big sip. I know a lot of you guys will be doing that this weekend and having some fun at Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I know a lot of you guys are hitting the road. So we'll keep this as family-friendly as possible. Not that our show ever really isn't, but we know you're probably listening with your kids.
Actually, we're doing the opposite, and we're going curse word crazy.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's not true.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, no. All right. What? Terry and I, we're going to give you a little bit of a trip report because you guys like that. We took a little adventure. Terry, why don't you start it, and I'll take over.
You know, when you're friends with Logan, lots of things happen at the last minute.
Oh, you
there's never, you know, other friends in your life may say, hey, a year from now, let's do something. Logan's like, in 24 hours, let's do something. So I got a call from Logan
Wednesday
evening. Like, my wife and I were watching TV, and she's like, hey, you want to go to Tampa and then drive to Orlando?
Yeah.
And then we're going to record something in the theme park at the other theme park. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, so Terry was my travel companion, which I realized after going to LA I desperately need because I go into like my weird, like alone depression that was not fun. I was like looking over the beach and I'm like, close the blinds. I'm putting on Bridget Jones's Baby.
You had to tell yourself.
Which I watched by myself in a hotel in Los Angeles.
I just love that you had to tell yourself, close the blinds. You're like talking.
I needed to hear someone's voice.
That was very Bruce Wayne there. I don't know. It was very.
Close the blinds. I blew out Will's microphone. we went to Orlando last weekend for a quick trip, and the reason that was is that Scare Zone, the other show I host about Halloween Horror Nights have been extended by a weekend. They add extra weekend due to the hurricane, and with that, Universal very nicely invited me and our team from Scare Zone to go down and record an episode. Not just to record an episode, but record it in their radio studio. Kind of give us a nice little stamp of approval, really, to allow us to do that. We interviewed Charles Gray, who's a show director. If you're at all interested in just sort of the behind-the-scenes world of theme parks, I encourage you to listen to Scare Zone. It's definitely not this, like, horror-driven, gross show. It is very much hearing from a lot of the Imagineer-ish type people that you would hear, the Universal equivalent. And a lot of those guys were Imagineers. We tell a lot of fun stories about Horror Nights, but also just about creating these different things. So they were really awesome to let us go do that. But if I was going to go down to Universal Studios Florida, which I had not been to in a while, I was going to go hardcore. And I told Terry, like, listen, if you're coming with me, know, like, I'm going for it. And, like, I haven't been to Universal as a solo person or as an adult without a kid, which is hard at Universal to do anything. A lot of the stuff, you have to be a certain height or a lot of the attractions are gone. So I was like, I'm going hardcore. But we were able to stop at Disney. So we did fly into Tampa just due to some scheduling stuff. That was the easiest way to get there. Got to Tampa. And Terry, what did we do next? We drove over.
We stopped over at the your favorite Cigar City Brewing and checked that out.
We checked out Cigar City. If you are in Tampa or in that area and you like sort of craft beerish type stuff, I'm a fan of Cigar City. They got a cool tap room.
By craft beerish type stuff, you mean if you like craft beer.
Yeah, but I'd say it's less like your mom and pop shop of like craft beer. Like, it's pretty legit, and they have a huge tap room and so many different a full store of merchandise. And you also could take a tour. We were only in there maybe 20 minutes and stopped and had a quick tasting and then bought some merch. And it's really cool. I hope to actually go back and take the tour because it was pretty neat, and it's not that far of an hour drive.
I'll say this about Tampa is when you're a Disney fan, you kind of tend to think Florida, and you kind of forget there's beaches in Florida.
Yeah, when you're used to flying into Orlando,
you just you know, hit the turnpike and get to the park, and so
yeah, when you fly over Tampa, and you're like, oh.
And, you know, I think it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. Yeah, Logan and I were like, do we really want to go to Orlando?
Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder to take advantage of all of the other things to do in Florida when you're there. That, you know, you go one way, there's Cocoa Beach, and the other way, there's Clearwater and Tampa and the beautiful golf beaches. And so don't forget the other things.
Don't limit yourself to Central Florida. And we weren't there very long. We did limit ourselves to Central Florida because we hopped in the car and headed to the Magic Kingdom. It took us about hour 15, something like that, to get to Magic Kingdom. Not long at all.
Yeah, and I think we almost died on I-4, maybe five times.
Yeah. And when you're not used to driving on I-4, it's the most dangerous interstate in the country.
Yeah, they just announced that stat, so it was like we were literally living out. Wow, this really is. I
it's
see
crazy,
why this
especially
is.
In Tampa. So yeah, be careful when you're driving on I-4. It's like built on hills, which make no sense. And it was cool. So we went over to the Magic Kingdom to experience some of the Christmas stuff because this was about 2 days after Halloween. Again, Horror Nights was still happening, even though it was extended.
Like because of the hurricane.
Because of the hurricane. But even if it wasn't, they probably wouldn't have their Christmas stuff. Christmas stuff went up at Disney this year overnight. Christmas, it went from Halloween to Christmas. It's usually a few day turnaround. This was not. This was all up. And it was pretty in your face. It was Christmas music blaring. The parades had stuff. The shows did. And we walked in and we first hit up, after getting Terry's ticket situation, hit up the Emporium, saw their Christmas offerings they already had for sale. Our friend, the Tim Tracker, and his wife, Jen, were there and was able to spend a few minutes with them. We caught up with them later on. He actually co-hosted my interview for Scare Zone with me. He's just a good friend and a really good guy. If you don't watch his YouTube channel, I actually encourage you to do it. He does Disney and Universal videos pretty much every day. Go follow him. He does a video every day. And that's the Tim Tracker on YouTube. I'm sure so many of you already watch him. Nearly 200,000 people do. But if you don't, you're looking for some of that. You know, he does great theme park videos and even does sometimes from his point of view where he has these special glasses where he can record stuff. Very cool stuff. But we met with him. Then what did we do after that?
I think we had some fast passes, some just random, just what could get because we kind of made them.
And we could get a lot.
Yeah, we got almost anything we wanted to do.
Yeah, so we did Space first.
Did Space.
And I had not done that in a couple of years.
I randomly got recognized on Space Mountain, which by the cast member. I didn't think we were actually going to get to ride because
oh yeah, she was very excited, and I'm only saying this because clearly she's not a listener to our podcast because she didn't recognize me. But I'm just kidding.
Maybe you just weren't talking.
That's true.
Because this is
I did have a guy at Horror Nights who came up to me who's a listener who said it's so weird to see your voice coming out of your face. All right. he was super nice. I'm just kidding. But he did say that. It was one of those things where you're right. It is different. But no, she stopped. She was the person who hits the button to launch you. So she's like, are you Terry Weaver? And I just like turned around like, what's
happening right
now? And like, y'all took a selfie. I'm like, I would like the ride to start. I don't want to sit in here for another 3 minutes. This is not the most comfortable position. And then finally she went over and hit it. It was like, we made magic. And then someone said we should have said, and do you have extra fast passes? But we didn't. We were stupid enough to not think that fast enough. And we did the ride, and I'd not done Space in a couple of years. It was a lot of fun. And what else? Well, I don't remember. I'm blanking.
People Movered it up?
People Mover. And it was as classic as you remember. I do that one a lot.
We saw the new painted rocks in Tomorrowland.
I like those rocks. Yeah, if you don't know, the rocks in Tomorrowland are now like blue.
Iridescent.
And I love them. I think they fit the theming a lot. No, they get some flack, but I dig it.
Logan was in Magic Kingdom in the afternoon and had never seen the Incredibles DJ dance party going on, which was
I'd seen
fun.
Stuff like it, but I didn't realize it was like an ongoing thing. I thought it was just like, oh, if it's a busy day, they'll throw it in. But it was not
Were
busy.
You missing out?
On the dance party?
Yeah.
No, but I think like my boy would love it. Like I think Riker would love it.
Because you're able to go right up with the characters.
You can, with no lines. With Miss Incredible and get your pictures with you if you want to get some selfies with
Gary, did you go dance with Miss Incredible?
No, but we did see them from the people. I have selfied with Frozone there before. So
did we meet? I don't think we met any characters at Disney. We did at Universal, but
we weren't there. I mean,
we were there for 3 or 4 hours maybe. And
then we went and checked out the last showing of
Celebrate the Magic,
which was nostalgic.
And it had a Christmas tag on it, which was pretty cool. I know the new show's already started, gotten good reviews, but man, that show was great. And I'll miss the Wreck-It Ralph scene because I thought that scene is just freaking awesome where he destroyed the castle. So it was cool to be there. Definitely some hardcore fans out there as well cheering on Celebrate the Magic. We did eat at Skipper Canteen, which
That's
I had not done.
There,
And I really enjoyed that. It was a really cool setup and a really cool experience, and you definitely don't feel like you're eating in the Magic Kingdom in a good way. It's kind of calm. It's a little quieter because we weren't in the big room. We were in like the library or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. All the little details. My food was delicious. I think a lot of people complain about it being expensive. We had three apps, didn't we? Or two
yeah.
or three?
Yeah.
And it was like $30. It wasn't bad at all. It was like $35 for two drinks. And then it really didn't feel like...
I had the world famous Schweitzer slush, which was a lot of
fun. And you had a specialty beverage too. And like, and it was, it wasn't that bad. What else did we have? What
we
did
had we
eat?
The...
Falafels?
We had a little dumpling. I forget what they, their little...
Some sort of dumpling. Like
ish
Asian
thing.
Dumpling.
Yeah. And then a rapis.
It was good. And and you know, they did the funny jokes and all of that. It worked well. But then we wanted to do some Christmas stuff. So we did the Jingle Cruise, which I had never done before.
Which you have to do right after you go to Skipper Canteen.
Yeah. So we had a fast pass for that, which I actually would recommend even on nights that you see are quiet because it was getting pretty long because people all wanted to do it. And it was fine. It was, I'd say it's just fine. It was funny and worth it there. Our skipper was good, but it was just... It was just fine. It was a good overlay. A couple scenes I loved. I loved the gorillas being all Christmased out with the sweaters and the hats. And then a few scenes were very like, oh, what? They didn't do anything.
I like it better than last year's version of it because last year they went crazy with Christmas lights and it was just too much.
Yeah.
What I do love about it
at night, it was pretty dark.
What I do love about it is the skippers, you can tell they're doing a new script. And they're kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, because they do the same exact set of jokes for, you know, 9 months out of the year, 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So to have some new jokes for a couple of months is kind of fun for them.
And I kind of like that they kept some of the jokes, but just altered them. So like you were kind of waiting for the traditional punchline and some things changed. So that was fun. I really liked the Jingle Cruise. I would do it during Christmas for sure. It's not anything overwhelmingly awesome, but it's a nice little addition to the Christmas offerings at Walt Disney World. So I was a fan of that. They already had the tree up and everything up. So, I mean, it was a little awkward because maybe even now, like this week, I'd be like, all right, cool. Because it was 2 days after Halloween, it did feel a little early. Like, I'm not usually the guy that's complaining about that. Like, oh, you're not doing Thanksgiving. You're putting up Christmas stuff early. Usually, I love Christmas. As much as I love Halloween, I love Christmas as well. But it did feel like, wow, this is early. Like, it's 88 degrees outside.
Yeah.
You know?
And then we went to use our fast pass on the old Pirates ride. And
it was shut down.
It was shut down, which it seems like it always is. I don't understand. I would say over half the times I've had a fast pass to that attraction, it is shut down. I mean,
I've at least had it happen once or twice
before. It's a boat ride. I mean, what's happening? What's going on? I don't know. It just seems like something's wrong.
I don't know the inner workings or the mechanics of it.
They're old. They're from the 70s. Yeah. So maybe it's just...
time for some new animatronics.
I've never built a boat. I can't guarantee I could keep a boat afloat.
That was very Seussian. I have never built a boat. I have no idea if I can keep a boat afloat. I've been reading a lot of Seuss to my son, so I start thinking... When you read a lot of Dr. Seuss, you start thinking like in his pattern.
See, oddly, I use that to break my brain of it.
Reading Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, if I don't read like 3 or 4 Dr. Seuss books a week, then I'll just start talking all Seussian.
I'd like to see that happen.
It's not true.
Well, I figured. Will's eating a very rare Who roast beef right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the Grinch.
So we went to, of course, the Haunted Mansion.
Yes, to the mansion.
You can't go to the Magic Kingdom with Logan without riding his favorite attraction.
Yeah, we did the mansion. There was no waits for anything. It was really quiet. It's a really good time to go, by the way. If you're planning on going to Walt Disney World or to Universal, I would highly recommend the weekend following Halloween because it was dead at both Universal and at Disney. And I mean quieter than I'd seen pretty much
ever.
Like in years.
In the last year. 5 or 6 years.
Right. So it was awesome. And because you got to experience all the Christmas stuff, you still be able to experience Horror Nights over at Universal. And part of that's that because Horror Nights is over and Christmas hasn't kicked in at Universal. So there's not as big of a local demand to go. And it was extended weekend for Horror Nights. So people really didn't even know what was happening because all the advertisements ended on Halloween. But yeah, we had a good time. And then we went to go eat dinner.
And before that, we had a bonus fast pass.
Oh, that's right.
With like 5 minutes to go in the park.
Yeah, they finally sent us a notification because of Pirates. It was like, it would legitimately
ride any ride you want
like
to ride.
Like 8:50.
And so we're standing over there by the Haunted Mansion and we had just literally got off the mansion ride. It was like, you could do anything in the park you want to do. And the only thing that we could have made without sprinting was the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, well, first we saw Celebrate the Magic.
Yeah, we just
And that's really the problem is we wanted to see that last Celebrate the Magic and say we were there and also enjoy that show for one last time. So one last time, to throw back to last week. So we saw that and we really only had about 5 minutes because they added the Christmas tag. We thought we'd have about 10 minutes. And we only had about 5 minutes to make it to any attraction. So you're right. I was hauling it. I wanted to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because I haven't done it more than a couple times. And as we passed it, we're like, last call for Hall of Presidents at 9 o'clock. And we skipped Wishes, and we went and enjoyed the Hall of Presidents.
Which no one likes Wishes anyways.
No, it's overrated.
And it felt like the right thing to do, because it was going to probably be our last chance to go check it out before...
Before they shut it down.
They will shut it down in January. That's what I meant.
I know what you meant.
They're going to build a wall around Hall of Presidents.
No, they probably will, but... at least have someone out there. Hall of Presidents is closed right now. I do wonder, because you usually hang the big banner like, welcome George W. Bush, welcome Barack Obama. I can't wait to see, welcome Donald Trump. Hanging in there. I feel like they'll minimalize that a little bit more than usual.
It'll be a small flag, not a banner.
Yeah. We saw the last show, which I'd say if you have time to see it, because I don't know what kind of changes they're going to make heading into this next election. I would encourage you guys to all go see The Hall of Presidents. It's a beautiful show. It always gets to me. It always kind of wells me up a little bit with emotion. It's a beautiful show. And I look forward to seeing, regardless of your political leanings, I look forward to seeing the next iteration of it, because it's something that regardless of any other thing, it's the only traction we know. Hey, every 8 years, we're going to get a refresh and we're going to get something
guaranteed.
New. Guaranteed.
Right.
So, you know.
Sometimes every four.
Yeah. I do have to say with Manchin, it did make me, being there around Christmas, and I've spent a lot of time at Disneyland during Christmas, to not be able to not being haunted Mansion Holiday, there was a little bit of me like, man, I love that it's still stays the same, but part of me really wishes they would do something cool for the holidays. Even if you didn't do Nightmare, but like just to, it feel the same way for Halloween. Like, can you not plus it up a little bit just for Halloween? Like, add in some pumpkins, like, I don't know, like do a little bit more extra. I would like to see that. I'd like to see the holidays repped in the mansion. Will says no. Ghosts don't celebrate.
I don't know why they would do that for you, Logan.
They do in California.
I know. California, they do a lot of fun things.
They do.
So we walked out of Hall of Presidents thinking, okay, we've killed enough time. We're going to be able to walk out.
Oh, yes. Yeah, by then it was, 9:30?
Yeah. Even though it was the day before, we were able to snag an elusive reservation at Ohana.
Yeah.
For like 10:05, I think, was our reservation. So you like eating at 10:05. But for us, we've been traveling all day, and we're kind of...
It was nice. Yeah, it was a nice stop.
Second dinner.
Yeah. Well, for us, we had appetizers, then that was the dinner. But yeah,
never
second dinner for
lunch. So.
No, because I don't stop.
We just went.
And we went...
We met your co-host.
We did Scott Garland, Scotty Too Hottie from the WWE. But before that, so this is what happened. So we leave.
Adventure.
And it's 9... We end up meeting up with one of Terry's friends, and she's kind of walking out with us. And it's 9:35, 9:40 at this point. And we walk up, and the monorail has, no joke, and the express monorail has a half-hour wait. The line for the resort monorail, just as long. And we just go, well, crap, like we're not going to make it.
The
boats were long waits. We missed it. And Scott was already at Ohana. We're like, well, how are we going to get there? What are we going to do? So this was honestly, this is where Disney needs to figure this out. This was our best bet. We walked from the, and we had parked at the Polynesian. Just to clarify, we parked at the Polynesian because that's where we knew we were going there for dinner. So we parked at the Polynesian, so we knew we couldn't like just get to our car. We had to walk to the Contemporary, and from the Contemporary, we Ubered from the Contemporary to the Polynesian for about $7, and got there right about 25 minutes later, so right about 10:05. So that was honestly the shortest way for us, was to spend about $7, which is to walk to Contemporary. Actually, walk to Bay Lake Tower, so you don't have to walk all the way to Contemporary. So we Ubered from the front of Bay Lake Tower, sat on the benches, waited for our driver. It took about 5 minutes for the driver to show up. And though it did cost money, it ended up saving us time in the long run. So it's a time versus money thing. And if you can deal with the crowds waiting for the monorail, waiting for the boats, which I could not at the time. And if you're not staying, obviously, at one of the resorts that has a bus.
Right. And I know they kind of created Magic Kingdom differently, so the parking lot wasn't right there.
Right.
But when you're trying to get somewhere fast, it is frustrating.
I mean, it's not even that fast. We're an hour after close, really. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's not like that. It's not like we walked out right after Wishes and we knew it would be a rush. There was no one really in the park. When we sauntered out of the park, it was very quiet. The merch was open. That was about it. And when we got there, the line was just crazy.
Crazy.
And thankfully, we did get to Ohana. And I had not eaten at dinner at Ohana in a few years. Probably a year or two. And I actually really enjoyed it.
Change the name of Ohana to Moana now.
Yeah. Moana's Ohana. Yeah. Moana means family in Hawaii.
Yeah, family style.
No, Ohana means family.
Does it really?
According to Lilo and Stitch.
There was a restaurant in Auburn called, what? It wasn't Ohana. It's Makata. It was a hibachi. And it'd be, come on and let's have fun. Makata means fun. It doesn't mean fun in Japanese.
What does it mean?
I don't know. But not fun.
Yep. So that was a side tip.
Yeah. Auburn, yep. Auburn,
they still,
Alabama.
I would suggest this. We talked about this last week, actually, on one of the questions, I believe. If we don't, we'll talk about it today on the questions. Not that we record them all at one time. And we had dinner there, and I suggest that if you're an adult and you do want it to be fairly kid, like not as kid crazy, where they don't do as much, they still do stuff for kids, but not near as intense, go late.
Yeah.
Because they had the ukulele player and the dancers, and I think they did bring up the kids for one thing, but it was very minimal.
It was just
quiet.
Like, here's a flower lay. Good right. Night. It wasn't like, hey, kids, let's do the coconut race around the restaurant.
And we were there until 10. And we probably left close to midnight. And there were still other, like, we were one of the last people there, but they weren't, like, trying to kick us out. And I mean that just because there was a lot of other people still there. Because I think they take, the waitress told me they took, or the hostess told me they take reservations now, typically till 11. So they're expected that you'll at least be there at midnight. So it's a great late night place to eat and enjoy some pretty good food. I know it gets mixed reviews all the time, but for Disney food, it's pretty good. I mean, my chicken was not the greatest. My chicken was actually great. My steak wasn't the greatest, but some of the wings and things, it was a good meal.
Yeah, I think it's a good, if you're kind of a meat and potatoes kind of eater, I think it's a good, still one of the...
Yeah, and I love their breakfast, so I always encourage, I like Ohana a lot. And so, by the time it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning, we get in the car, we go over to our hotel at Universal, we were staying at the Hard Rock. We get to, you know, we finally... Both get to our rooms at like probably 2 in the morning.
Terry and I had connecting rooms.
Yeah. So, you know, of course we learned that it's extra magic or what do they call it? Or morning.
Early morning hours.
Early morning hours.
Early morning admission. Early admission.
Early something. And so, you know, of course it's at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And at this
6
point.
6 hours from now.
6 hours from now. And I think we kind of compromised. We left our room at like 8:30.
Yeah. So I told Terry, I was like, we'll check in with each other around then and see how we're doing. And both of us were pretty much ready to go. Running on adrenaline and hit the parks. And Terry had not experienced, you'd been to Universal in how long?
I hadn't been to Universal since before, right as Transformers was about to open. I was there when they were soft opening.
Okay. I don't know.
I think we determined that was like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's been quite a little while since they'd opened Transformers. And I'd only been, honestly, I'd not been to a non-Horror Nights time at Universal since about the same time. It'd been a couple of years since right after Diagon Alley had opened. Yeah, so opening day at Universal Studios Florida was in 2013, so about 3 years ago. And it was cool. So there were no lines for anything, and we had Express Pass because we were staying. You got to give it up to Universal for sticking with that whole thing, which is if you get to stay at the hotels. Now, it's not all the hotels now. I think it's just the deluxe hotels. So I think if you're staying, maybe at Sapphire Falls, I'm not sure.
Not at Cabana Bay.
But definitely not at Cabana Bay. But if you are staying at either the Hard Rock, definitely Hard Rock Portofino, or the Royal Pacifica, you get unlimited Express Pass. And you're talking really Express Pass, 5-minute waits, 10-minute waits. We did Kong in 15 minutes tops.
I would say this as we've gotten a lot of questions about Disney fans who are wanting to maybe go to Universal with their teenage kids.
Dip their toe in.
Dip their toe in the water. I will make this recommendation for you as if you're going to spend a day at Universal, plan it either at the beginning or the end of your trip and just go stay in one of those hotels because that Express Pass benefit. By the time you get that saving, it's well worth it.
I think it's about $80 a person if you're just to buy. You can outright buy unlimited Fast Pass. I think it's about $80.
And also the hotels, like their nicest hotel, which Portofino Bay is probably the nicest.
Probably technically at this point.
Yeah, but there's some nicer hotels are still a lot cheaper than the high-end Disney hotel.
Yeah, I think our hotel room.
But you can also go to Cabana Bay and it's a budget hotel.
Under $300, I think, for a night at the Hard Rock. So, you know, if you have 4 kids, that makes it up an Express Pass fee. And it's a really nice hotel, and it's a great place to go chill. It's right there. If you haven't been, it's unlike Disney World. It's more like Disneyland, where it's, you know, one way in, one way out. Everything is connected. All your food, everything is in walking distance. Some of the hotels, you may need to take a boat. But overall, like,
in Hard Rock, we just walked.
Yeah, you walk.
We took a little
straight to the gate.
5 minutes, we were at the gate.
And, it was cool. So we went and we spent the day there, and I don't want to spend too much time on Universal because I know we're not a Universal Travel Planning podcast, but we did all the new stuff. And I have to say, especially if you have kids or that are teens, all the Potter stuff, which Terry had not really done, is really great. The Hogwarts Express and just the attention to detail, the Diagon Alley in general is just, it's breathtaking.
I've never seen one of the Potter movies, but it what their version of Imagineering did with that, which mostly were Disney Imagineers, is literally the greatest thing you've ever seen in a theme park. I mean, it's very
high praise coming from
Disney. You know, I mean, you what especially Diagon Alley was the one that was in
Universal Studios. It's the newer one,
and it's, you know, hidden behind the wall, and it's literally you're there, and you. I love moments when you're in a theme park. I love Skipper Canteen for this reason. Yeah. I love Cars Land for this reason. Because you forget you're in a theme park. You're like, in Cars Land, you're like, I'm in Radiator Springs.
Right.
I felt like I was one of the characters in Harry Potter. It was so immersive. You couldn't see anything else.
Did y'all take the train from King's Cross over to Islands?
We did
both ways. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I've only done it from King's Cross over to Islands. But, I mean, you're in an England, like, you're in the King's Cross station.
Right.
You're no longer in Central Florida.
There's a snack bar. You can buy drinks, you know, from beer to just drinks and snacks to ride on the train. But Terry even brought up and stuff that you wouldn't think usually someone like a Disney you wouldn't think would do. And I'm curious if they do this for Star Wars Land, which legitimately, I know people that have gone to Universal Studios Florida and missed Diagon Alley. Because if you're familiar with the film, it's behind a brick wall. So in actuality, it's behind a brick wall, and you would never know it's there.
Yeah. If you weren't looking at your app or map, you would miss the entire attraction.
Right. You said, like, what are we doing? What's in here? Like, thinking, like, maybe with bathrooms. And then it's, oh, you're in this amazing portion of the park.
So, for me, I really did enjoy. I still think Spider-Man is probably my favorite Orlando attraction.
Yeah.
I love that ride architecture. We got to ride that. We got to ride the new Transformers, which I thought was absolutely fantastic.
It's a very similar ride, but yeah.
It's very much the similar ride.
It's the same ride, but it's a different video.
It's not awesome. Like Disney hasn't done that with Body Wars.
It happened.
The Rovers. And when you build a technology, you're going to use it a couple of times if you can. But, you know, we were able to, because of the express passes, we were literally able to do everything in the day. And then we went to Horror Nights that I had never done. We did. Yeah. Obviously, we had to stop in the middle of the afternoon and do the main reason we were there, to record the episode of Scare Zone. And that was really cool. Universal treated us like we were celebrities and gave us great access to the backstage area there. It was super fun. And I enjoyed my time. And I definitely think if you're a Disney fan who has teenage kids, I'll admittedly say Disney's definitely missing that demo, and that may change when Star Wars Land. I feel like we're getting ready to see in about 2020 a pretty impressive theme park Orlando battle.
Yeah,
because I think Universal is far from done with what they're doing. There's a whole new franchise coming into Harry Potter World.
There's
the Jimmy Fallon
which
coming.
Which is going to be open sooner than later.
They've got the Nintendo licensing that they've acquired. So I think we're in for 10 great years in the 20s.
Yeah.
It will be the roaring 2020s in Orlando.
We talked about this on Scare Zone a bit, because Horror Nights has been kind of disrupted by some of this construction where the way the lines are set up, you notice them. Some of them, you're walking like an insane amount of distance till you get to your house. And a lot of that's because of construction, whether it's where Jimmy Fallon was or whether it was before, where they're throwing one in the Shrek theater. Like, that wasn't the case before. But because of all this construction with Fast and Furious, and I told the guys on the show, I was like, I don't see that slowing down. Universal's kind of gotten on this, like, we're putting out a brand new attraction almost every year. And Volcano Bay opening, a brand new water park that's tickets went on sale today. When I'm recording this, it went on sale today. And you're seeing Universal try, I think, their hand at this. And I think you're right. And here's one last thing before I wrap it up, because Horror Nights, it's a totally different beast. Maybe we'll talk about that next year around Halloween to get your thoughts. Because I talked about your thoughts on Scare Zone, so you can hear my interpretation of Terry's thoughts. We were happy to talk about it. If you guys want to hear about that experience, feel free to let us know. But I'm not going to drone on about that, because I know that's primarily not why you're listening. But one last thing to close. I know there's a lot of people who are the Disney purists who never want to leave property, and I get that totally. And if it's from a convenience point of view, I get it. You don't want to get a car. You don't want to Uber over there. But if you do have a car and you do have ways to get there, here's what I say. For those that are Disney purists at this point, and maybe you can – look, I'm saying something controversial. Feel free to challenge me back. You have someone like Jason Sorrell, who was a highly influential Imagineer and show director at Disney a couple of years ago, who originally started at Universal. His book is still for sale, or it's actively for sale at what's the Haunted Mansion store called? I always forget the
name. Miramoto Morty.
What he said. it's for sale at Miramoto's. It's for sale in in the Haunted Mansion store, because he wrote the book on the Haunted Mansion. He was a big deal. And he's now left and gone to Universal to be a show director there, really create one of their new parks, as well as do this whole Jimmy Fallon attraction. Same thing as you have J. Michael Roddy, who is one of probably the most influential person in Universal, in the late 90s to the early 2000s, who created Jack the Clown and all these crazy icons for Universal, he's now with Disney. He developed the Star Wars fireworks show and developed a lot of the new stuff we're seeing. I think he has something to do with the drones. I'm not positive about that, but I think the drone show, doing a lot of show directing there, the Frozen show. So to me, it's now gotten to the point where a lot of the Disney Imagineers are now Universal Creative. A lot of the Universal Creative are now Disney Imagineers. So don't limit yourself just because you feel like it's a brand loyalty thing. Because listen, I mean, this is how I've kind of always put it and how I rationalize it. I wouldn't skip a movie for my favorite director because it was made by a different studio. So I would encourage you to take a look at the works going on at Universal. I just feel like if you want to check out Universal, don't have hesitation. There's amazing people out there, and take a look at it.
Everyone wants to know now, because we teased it last week. How did you almost kill Terry?
So at the end of the day, we had obviously gone crazy the day before. We literally closed down Horror Nights. So I looked at, you know, my the old app on the iPhone to see the mileage. And from the day before, for the, you know, because Horror Nights ends at 1. So the day before, we walked like 20 miles. And then I think we did 4 miles after. So we basically did a marathon of Universal in a day. Not to mention back and forth and, you know, and it wasn't like we were waiting in a lot of lines because we had the express bus. We were just constantly moving. And we had a lot of fun. The Kong attraction was so much fun.
But we walked 20-something miles.
As a Disney purist, aside from the near-death experience, I had a blast. Yeah. And
we ate some good food, too.
It was fun.
There were some good restaurants there. But yeah, I think I by the end of it, I kind of looked back because we'd not done the second Bill and Ted show at 12:30 that was done around 1:20. I looked back, I'm like, Terry is going to die. And how am I going to tell Leslie? What am I going to do here? I'm like, how'd you do? Well, we walked 19 miles in the heat consistently, and we never stopped. So, all right. Is that sufficient enough?
Yeah, I mean, So rolling.
Next time, I'm going to have different goals than trying to kill Terry. So we're going to see.
Next time, it involves polyurethane and cats.
Okay. That'd be for you. If I had to kill Will, if you're listening to this, Kill Will Volume 1 is bring a room full of cats.
Yeah.
You love cats.
I know. Can't resist them.
But you're highly allergic. So
here, kitty.
All right. Let's bring Lynn on for a little segment we do, Listener Questions with Lynn.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, first question of the day. Terry, I like this question. Laura is a planner. I like this.
Yep, Laura is a long range. She's way on. She's not, you know, Logan planning a trip in 12 hours. This is Laura. Laura's trying to figure out 2021 and 2022, but Laura wants to know, will the WDW 50th celebration start in October 2021? Looking to take the extended family on a once-of-a-lifetime trip. It has to be in summer. Want to go there for the 50th. Should we plan on 2021 or 2022?
It'll probably start in 2020 and go through 2022. Given the number of things that Disney's supposedly planning for this, they're going to want to get the maximum bang for the buck out of it. So I would say that by October of 2020, you'll hear the announcements about things like the Remy ride at France. And, you know, I think every park is getting a new ride from what I understand.
Odds makers, will Star Wars be open?
2021, if it's not, it would be a failure at that point. Yeah. It'd be a huge disappointment. In fact, they should be done with every project we know of by 2021. And if they're not, that would be a problem.
And they're also, you know, they're planning a lot around then both two new cruise ships online in 2021 and 2022.
Yeah, I'm hearing 2022 for that. That's a whole – we should do a whole show on that because I just got off the Anthem on Royal Caribbean, and that is a fantastic ship.
Yeah, I've heard great.
The thing that I'm concerned about is if Disney's going to do, you know, dream class or dream-sized ships, I don't know how they're going to compete against what Royal's got going on in the ship. So we should do a whole show on that.
All right. We will do it.
All right, Holly Wohler. Hey, guys. My husband and I are headed to WDW today. They're right. Headed today.
Today, which
to
was
Walt
which
Disney
actually
World.
Was the day Terry and I were in the parks. So, unfortunately, I missed this email. But it'll help.
I had heard on your podcast a while back about one of the guys going to a bar on property that had a good bourbon flight. Can you help me out and tell me which one it was? I think it was the Abracadabar. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Very excited about the DVC podcast. Wish they would make it a weekly podcast.
Yeah, Terry.
I think they're a few behind, actually. Holly! Actually, it was not the Abracadabar where I had the flight. It was in the Top of the World Lounge that had the bourbon flight.
Find a friend.
And they had a Knob Creek single barrel that was the Walt Disney Barrel Select. So that's where I had it. It was at the Top of the World Lounge, but the Abracadabar is a good whiskey bar. They have really good whiskey cocktails, and they have a better diverse selection of bourbon than you find in most of the Disney bars. So I highly suggest both of them. If you can get someone to take you... Oh, and you say you love the DVC podcast, so you probably... I assume are at least friends with someone that's DVC. So get them to take you up to the Top of the World if you're not a DVC member yourself, and check out the flight there.
And Abracadabar serves in Glencairn glasses.
They do.
The proper whiskey glasses.
They do.
What else was in that flight? I'm interested.
You had a few choices. One? Like you could pick a high rye bourbon from a couple, a standard bourbon, and a wheat. So I think you could get...
One was Maker's for sure, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So the wheated bourbon was Maker's. Then you could pick a high rye like Woodford Reserve and a couple others.
It was late.
it was late. Yes. And I had been to the Abracadabar before that.
We're with a listener who brought us up there. Thanks to Mr. Spangler, always Egon, for taking us up there. All right. So let's get through a couple more. Amanda says, wait times the first week of January for Frozen Ever After look optimistic. Under 45 minutes. Is the hype dying down?
I hope so. Also, I think we've talked about this on the last show that I was on. The way that the marathon is scheduled this week, this year, for 2017, pushes the crowds to earlier in the month.
Yeah. So there you go. Hopefully that helps you. 45 minutes. I've seen it under that already sometimes during the day. So it just depends on the week. But is the hype dying down? I mean, I think that just happens naturally after a ride's been for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just rapid fire two of these and then let's get out of here.
Smitty wants to know, gents, I just booked the family for a studio Lakeview at Bay Lake Towers for January 15th to 20th, and we're super psyched. I was wondering if you knew any good tricks of the trade for getting our room upgraded, either better view or bigger size room. Is there a code word, form of bribery, secret handshake, anything that you could suggest that would be awesome? Thanks for all you do. Cheers. Smitty from Toms River, New Jersey.
All right. Anything special?
Middle of January. So getting an upgrade is difficult. From what I understand in talking to the room assigners, the only way to get a room upgrade reliably is to be booked in a room category that's oversold. Like, let's say you book a standard view room and you get there and Disney's oversold all the standard view rooms. You would get bumped up to the next category or maybe, you know, two categories. But there's no way that the computer system will let them do it arbitrarily.
Right.
Right. So one thing you could do if you're booking a standard view room is to request a very specific category for which you know there are relatively few rooms. Standard view lakeside sounds actually like there aren't that many because of the way the building is shaped. So you have a decent chance there. The other problem, though, is I think middle of January, I'm not sure how busy it's going to be. You know, in terms of things like, you know, saying it's my birthday or it's my anniversary or, you know, slipping the cast member a 20 or whatever. I don't think those things work.
Yeah. I even recently told them, hey, if this room opens up, I will book it and I will pay it. And I stayed at Bay Tower and I still didn't.
I've tried that before. I've said, you know, look, I have done this. So I have negotiated access to the concierge lounge. From what I understand from Disney's computer system, any room can be assigned concierge access, even if you're not on the concierge floor, and it's negotiable. It depends on the cast member you get. The couple of times that I've done it successfully, it happens to be the night manager or the night assistant manager on the desk when I checked in.
Something for him to do.
Yeah, and well, I mean, their job is to increase revenue, right? So if they can, so what they started with was, you know, they offered me the access for $100 a day. I'm like, dude, I can't eat $100 worth of food. I think we settled on like $30 a day.
Well, and that's worth it.
Yeah.
If you feel
done,
it.
Right? Done. $30 a day. Go ahead. Yeah. So ask. It doesn't hurt to, you. So the other thing I would say is offer to pay for the upgrade if it's available. Sometimes they'll just do it for free too.
Yeah. That's what I tried to do. Still didn't work, but I'll always try. All right. Let's get this last question in.
All right. This is from Hannah. Is her name Hannah Message? Or is it Hannah and then the message part you copied?
No, I don't know.
All right. Hannah Message. I think I heard a question yesterday about allergies at WDW. Disney will do an allergy clean of your room. At one time, there was a form online, but you can call and request. One of the options is to do a double rinse the bedding and use dye and scent-free soap. You need to request it in advance. They are usually very thorough. There used to be a form online, but I can't find it now. So she's responding to someone last week that was asking about skin conditions. Like, right. If you have something like that, can you get the dye-free soap and everything? So Hannah's like answering some of that for us, but asking, where do you find that now, Lynn?
The dye-free soap or the,
no, the like form?
The form online. I think you have to call,
of
right?
How to get it. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I would try putting that in, either calling or putting it in the request. Yeah. On, man, I don't even know. Hold on. Let me, I would almost Google that.
Yeah, I've tried it before, and I think they're right, because I actually did it once and did a hypoallergenic room, but they didn't offer it last time I looked. I would say your best bet is probably, while he looks, is to call, because I'd be nervous putting it in the notes and then no one sees it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, hopefully that's not really an answer question, but thank you so much for following up on that. If you do have those feedback based on questions that we don't fully know the answer to, feel free to message me back. I do my best to get those on the show, too. All right, that's going to do it, Lynn, unless you have the information in front of you.
Nope, that's it.
That's it. Sorry, guys. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Hope you guys didn't mind the old Universal drama that we talked about. Hopefully you're going to check out some of the new Christmas offerings at Disney. Let us know what your favorite Christmas offerings are. I hope you enjoyed your travels. If you're traveling somewhere, be safe on the road. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. And see, that's what Thanksgiving episode, because we're bringing Universal and Disney fans together to sit at the table.
I'm thankful.
I'm thankful as well.
And if you happen to be in Orlando on Thanksgiving weekend, follow me on Twitter. I may or may not happen to be in town with my wife for the weekend. So
good luck on that. That's not a busy
time
at all.
Well, I get there Saturday night and then, you know, at the end of the weekend. So
enjoy. I will not be there. I will be in an undisclosed location. But for that's going to do it for today's show. Again, happy Thanksgiving. Special thanks to the greatest band of podcasting, Off Kilter, and to our sponsor, Kingdom Strollers. If you're going down, you need to go right now. They're probably sold out, but they may not be. KingdomStrollers.com. Book your Thanksgiving. I'd say if you're going to Christmas, book now if you want to get one of those rental strollers, and you're going to want them. KingdomStrollers.com. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll talk to you on the next show.